Heritage Ministries Yeshiva Discipleship Program. In this session, we will be covering the topic of two houses and the New Testament. And this is session number 4. Two houses and the New Testament gives us an understanding that Yeshua's ministry is to gather the exiles of Israel. And Matthew in chapter 11, verses 1 through 3, Yeshua was asked, "Are you the Messiah, or should we expect another? It is written, it came to pass when Yeshua has made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Messiah, he sent two of his disciples, and John asked Yeshua this question, are you the one that should come? In other words, are you the Messiah, or should we look for another? Therefore, Yeshua's response is his claim that he's the Messiah. And how did he answer the question? He answered the question this way, I am the one that was sent to gather the exiles of Israel. Yeshua responds to John this way, Matthew chapter 11, verses 4 through 6. Yeshua answered and said to them, go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. And he ends up making a reference to Isaiah in chapter 35. And he says, tell them that the blind, which is a term for Israel in exile because they've departed from Torah, that they will receive their sight. They will realize I'm the Messiah and follow Torah. And the lame, which is another term for Israel in exile, will walk. That is, follow Torah. The lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. These are also terms for Israel in exile. However, in this session, we are going to focus upon a blind man and a lame man being healed on the Sabbath, and what the prophetic significance is of Yeshua healing the blind man and a lame man on the Sabbath. So not only does Yeshua say, I'm the one who comes to gather the exiles of Israel and to do a work which will allow them to be restored, but he then adds, Matthew 11, verse 6, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Not only am I the Messiah, but you're blessed if you're not offended that I am the Messiah. In the Sanchino Midrash Rabbah, volume 9, page 202, it explains that when Israel sinned, they became blind, deaf, lame, poor, and leprous. So these are terms for Israel that breaks the covenant. Rabbi Simeon ben Yohai taught, when Israel stood before Mount Sinai and said, all that the Lord has spoken we will do and obey, Exodus chapter 24, verse 7, at that moment there were among them neither persons with issue, nor lepers, nor lame, nor blind, no dumb, no deaf, no lunatics, no imbeciles, no dullards, and no doubters. With reference to that moment, it says from the Song of Solomon, you are all fair, my beloved. After they sinned, not many days passed before there were among them persons with issue and lepers, lame and blind, dumb and deaf, lunatics and dullards. Then the order was given in Numbers chapter 5, verse 2, let them put out of the camp every leper and everyone that has an issue. In John chapter 5, the setting is the Sabbath. And in John chapter 5, verses 2 and 3, it is written, "Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. And in these lay a great multitude." The great multitude is a reference to the exiles of Israel. It's a specific reference to Ephraim scattered in the nations. In Genesis 48, verse 14 and verse 19, it is written, "And Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it upon Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand upon Manasseh's head, guiding his hand wittingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn." And then it is said, "His younger brother," that is Ephraim, "shall be greater than he," that is Manasseh, "and his seed shall become a multitude of nations." The prophecy is that the seed of Ephraim would be a multitude of nations. And therefore, when Yeshua is ministering to the multitudes in the gospel, it is literal in the sense that there were literally many people who were surrounding him, but it's a prophetic allusion to Israel in exile, with particular emphasis on Ephraim being scattered into the nations of the world. In John chapter 5 and verse 2, it refers to at Jerusalem at Bethesda, they were by the sheep market. And by the sheep market is where there lay a great multitude. The sheep here is a reference to Israel as well. In Psalm 78, verse 43 and verse 52, we can see how the nation of Israel is likened to sheep, how he had wrought his signs in Egypt and his wonders in the field of Zoan, but made his own people to go forth like sheep and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. In John chapter 5, verse 2, they're not only at Jerusalem by a sheep market where there lay a great multitude, but the place where this happens is Bethesda. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda. Bethesda is the Strong's number 964 in the Greek dictionary. And Bethesda means house of mercy. This is a prophetic picture that the exiles of Israel will be gathered through an act of mercy upon them by the God of Israel through Yeshua the Messiah. Isaiah in chapter 14, verse 1, "For the Lord will have mercy on Jacob, and he will yet choose Israel and set them in their own land." Notice how they return to their own land. He will have mercy upon them. "And the stranger shall be joined with them, and they shall cleave to the house of Jacob." Jeremiah chapter 30, verses 17 and 18. "For I will restore health." The restoration of health is the end of the exile of Jacob. "And I will heal you of your wound," that is the exile, says the Lord, "cast saying, who no man seeks after." Jeremiah 30, verse 18. "Thus says the Lord, behold, I will bring again the captivity of Jacob's tents and have mercy on his dwelling places." Therefore, once again, we see the connection between the God of Israel having mercy upon his people and ending the exile of the house of Jacob. We can also see this in Ezekiel chapter 39, verse 25. "Therefore, thus says the Lord God, now will I bring again the captivity of Jacob and have mercy upon the whole house of Israel, and will be jealous for my holy name. John chapter 5, verses 2 and 3, it says, "Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. And in these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of those who were there that were blind." So the spiritual picture that's being painted for us is the nation of Israel being likened to sheep, scattered in the nations, a great multitude, and mercy being showed upon them, Bethesda, and the description of the exiles are that they are blind because they're not believing in Yeshua as the Messiah and they're not following Torah. The nation of Israel is described as being blind, as can be seen in the Sanchino Midrash Rabbah, volume 3, page 438. The blind man is Israel because it says, "We grope for the wall like the blind, yea, as they that have no eyes do we grope. We stumble at noonday as in the twilight." This is Isaiah and chapter 49 and verse 10. We can also see how the blind man is Jacob from Isaiah chapter 42, verses 18 through 20 and verse 24, as it is written, "Hear ye deaf, and look ye blind, that you may see. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger that I sent? Who is blind as he that is perfect, and blind as the Lord's servant? Seeing many things, but observing not, opening the ears, but hearing not. Who gave Jacob for a spoil, and Israel to the robbers? Who sent the nation of Israel into exile in the nations? Did not the Lord, he against whom we have sinned? For they would not walk in his ways, neither were they obedient unto his Torah." In John chapter 5, verses 2 and 3, we are told that Yeshua is sent so that the lame could walk. John chapter 5, verse 3, "In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, and those who are halt or lame." The nation of Israel is being described as being both blind and lame. And Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 7 and 8, in describing the redemption or the end of the exile of Jacob, the God of Israel is redeeming the blind and the lame. "For thus says the Lord, sing with gladness for Jacob." Singing is a Hebrew idiom which describes the joy of the redemption of the nation of Israel in the end of days. "And shout among the chief of the nations, publish ye, praise ye, and say, O Lord, save your people, the remnant of Israel. Behold, I will bring them from the north country, and gather them from the coast of the earth, and with them the blind and the lame, the woman with child and her that travails with child together." Who is this a reference to? The woman with child and her that travails with child. Who's travailing with child? Zion. Zion. This is the redemption of Zion. "And a great company shall return thither." The exiles are healed by Yeshua through an outpouring of the Ruach HaKodesh, or the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 5, verses 2 and 3, with the setting being at Bethesda, it says in John 5, verse 3, "And these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water." This is the spiritual picture that the exiles of Israel will be redeemed by the moving of the water or an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We can see this from Isaiah in chapter 49 and Isaiah chapter 49, verse 10. But in order to see who Isaiah 49, verse 10 is describing, we want to first look at Isaiah chapter 49, verse 9. And we're going to see here that the prisoners that are being described are the exiles of Israel. Specifically, it's the 10 tribes or Ephraim. In Isaiah 49, verse 9, it is written, "That you may say to the prisoners, go forth. To them that are in darkness, show yourselves. They shall feed in the ways, and their pastures shall be in all high places." In the book A Matter of Return by Rabbi Raphael Eisenberg, on page 132, and commenting about Isaiah 49:9, he explains how Orthodox Judaism sees this verse as describing the 10 tribes. Prophesying about the future return of the exiles to their land, Isaiah states that you may say to the prisoners, go forth. To them that are in darkness, show yourselves. The Midrash Rabbah explains that prisoners denotes the 10 tribes residing beyond the Sabbatean, where it was believed and explained and understood where they went. They went beyond the river Sabbatean. And those who are in darkness, denoting those existing under a dark cloud, not following Torah, in other words. In the Midrash Rabbah, volume 6, page 695 of the Sanchino version, it says, "In the time to come, the Holy One, blessed be He, will bring them together, as may be inferred from the text. Behold, these shall come from far, and lo, these from the north and from the west, and these from the land of Sinim." Isaiah chapter 49 and verse 12. "The other exiles shall come with them, and the tribes who are living beyond the river Sabbatean and beyond the mountains of darkness shall gather together and come to Jerusalem." Isaiah stated, saying to the prisoners, go forth, Isaiah 49:9. He was referring to those exiles who are living beyond the Sabbatean. "To them that are in darkness, show yourselves." By this, he was referring to those who are living beyond the cloud of darkness. So seeing that Isaiah 49:9 is referring to the prisoners or the 10 tribes, Ephraim, scattered in the nations, it says in Isaiah 49:10, "They shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun smite them, for he that has mercy upon them shall lead them even by the springs of water. He shall guide them." And this spring of water is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. That's why we have the prophetic allusion in John chapter 5, verse 3, that the lame and the blind and the withered were waiting for the moving of the water. It goes on to say in John chapter 5, verse 8, that Yeshua is going to tell the lame man to rise and take up his bed. Yeshua said unto him, "Rise, take up your bed." Rise, or arise, is a Hebrew idiom for awakening from spiritual slumber. Psalm 102, verse 13, it is written, "You shall arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her, yea, the set time is come." So the redemption is not only likened unto the God of Israel having mercy upon his people, pouring out his spirit upon his people, but his people arising from their spiritual slumber. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you." Jeremiah 31, verse 6, "For there shall be a day that the watchman upon Mount Ephraim shall cry, Arise ye, and let us go up to Zion unto the Lord our God." In John chapter 5, verse 8, Yeshua said unto the lame man, "Rise, take up your bed, and walk." The prelusion to following Torah. Walking is a Hebraic idiom for following Torah. We can see this from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 6, as it is written. Therefore ye shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to fear him. Psalm 119, verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the Torah of the Lord. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 3. And many people shall go and say, come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us his ways. We will walk in his paths. What's walking in his paths? For out of Zion shall go forth the Torah, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. We can see how walking is a Hebraic idiom for following Torah from Mark chapter 8, verse 24, where it says, and he looked up and said, I see men, which is a reference to the nation of Israel, as trees walking, which means following Torah. Next, we're going to look at John chapter 9, where here Yeshua heals a blind man on the Sabbath at the pool of Siloam. While this is a literal event that happened, it is also prophetic and speaks about the ingathering of the exiles in the end of days. John chapter 9, verse 1 and verse 7. And as Yeshua passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And he said unto him, go, wash in the pool of Siloam. Notice he was blind from his birth. When is the birth of the nation of Israel? At Mount Sinai. And what did we read earlier? That when Israel sinned at Mount Sinai, the golden calf, there were among them who became blind. So this is one blind from his birth, which is a reference to Israel going back to Mount Sinai and the sin of the golden calf. And so he said to him, go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. And he went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. Siloam is the Strong's number 4611, and it means sent. Yeshua is sent from the Father. Go wash in a pool called sent, which means go wash in Yeshua. Wash in the Messiah. John chapter 6, verse 29. Yeshua answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. John chapter 6, verse 38 through 40. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which sees the Son and believes on him up last day. In John chapter 9, verse 7, the blind man was instructed to wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent, which is prophetic of washing in Yeshua, believing in Yeshua as the Messiah. And when he went his way, he washed and came seeing. He's washed by the living water, which is a reference to Yeshua. John chapter 4, verse 11 and verses 13 and 14, it is written, the woman said unto him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Yeshua answered and said unto her, whosoever drinks of this water, that is natural water, will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, springing up into everlasting life. Yeshua is that living water who we're supposed to wash in. Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 12 through 14. A glorious high throne from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. O Lord, the hope of Israel. The word there that is translated as hope in the King James is the Hebrew word mikvah. This says in the Hebrew, O Lord, the mikvah, the immersion bath of Israel. All that forsake you shall be ashamed, and they that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. This is Yeshua. He's the fountain of living waters. So those that forsake him shall be ashamed. And what did we read earlier that Yeshua said to John when John asked him in Matthew in chapter 11, verses 1 through 6, whether he was the Messiah? Yeshua responded in Matthew chapter 11, verse 6, blessed is he who is not offended in me. Blessed is he that believes on me. Jeremiah 17, verse 14, heal me, O Lord, and I will be healed. That's being healed from the exile, the wound of the exile. Save me, and I will be saved, for you are my praise. Back to John in chapter 5, where Yeshua spoke to the lame man and said, rise, take up your bed and walk, John chapter 5, verse 8. This healing was done on the Sabbath. John chapter 5, verse 9, and immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. Yeshua heals the blind man in John chapter 9 also on the Sabbath day. John chapter 9, verse 14, and it was the Sabbath day when Yeshua made the clay and opened his eyes. While both of these events, John chapter 5, verse 9, and John chapter 9, verse 14, were healings that were literally done on the Sabbath day when Yeshua was walking on the earth at his first coming, it is a prophetic foreshadowing that the exiles of Israel will be healed, redeemed, delivered by an act of mercy of the God of Israel in the prophetic Sabbath day, which is a reference to the end of days, and the beginning of that prophetic Sabbath day we call the tribulation period. In Isaiah chapter 58, verse 13, we can see the association of the seventh-day Sabbath and it being referred to by the term the day of the Lord. If you turn away from your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord honorable. So the Sabbath is called the day of the Lord. Each day in creation represents 1,000 years of time. We can see this from Psalm chapter 90, verse 4, and 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. In Psalm chapter 90, verse 4, it is written, for 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. So a day is likened to 1,000 years. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, it says, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day, quoting from Psalm chapter 90 and verse 4. It goes on to say in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, after it says in verse 8, don't be ignorant that one day is with the Lord 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day, it then says, but the day of the Lord. So how long is the day of the Lord? It is 1,000 years. And we call the day of the Lord, or the day of Messiah, we call that period the Messianic era. And it says that the day of the Lord, it comes as a thief in the night. That means it comes in darkness. It comes unsuspecting. In other words, we're going to have started the Messianic era or the tribulation without many people being aware that the Messianic era or the tribulation is coming, because it comes as a thief in the night. And what happens at this time. The heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. The earth and the works that are therein shall be burned up. In one regard, this is speaking of nuclear warfare. So you'll have nuclear warfare in the day of the Lord. And what is a reason that the Bible gives for a nuclear warfare? Zechariah chapter 14, verse 12 describes the nuclear warfare. It comes about through the dividing of the land of Israel, specifically the dividing of Jerusalem. Zechariah chapter 14, verses 1 and 2. We can also see how the seventh day Sabbath of creation is a prophetic allusion to the Messianic era, known as the Day of the Lord, which begins with the tribulation period. From Isaiah chapter 13, verses 6 and 8, "How ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as destruction from the Almighty. And they shall be afraid. Pangs and sorrows shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman that travails." This is tribulation. So the tribulation is associated with the day of the Lord. Zephaniah chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. "The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hastens greatly, even the voice of the day of the Lord. The mighty man shall cry there bitterly." That day, that is the day of the Lord, is a day of wrath. It's a day of trouble and distress. That is a reference to the tribulation period. A day of wasteness and desolation. A day of darkness and gloominess. A day of clouds and thick darkness. The day of the Lord is referred to as Jacob's trouble. Jeremiah chapter 30, verses 6 and 7. "Ask ye now and see whether a man doth travail with child. Why do I see every man with his hands on his loins as a woman in travail? And all faces are turned into paleness. Alas, for that day is great." That is the day of the Lord. "So that none is like it. It is the time of Jacob's trouble. But he will be redeemed, saved, or delivered out of it." It is during Jacob's trouble where we have the end of the exile of the nation of Israel or the house of Jacob. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 3 and verse 7. "For lo, the days come, says the Lord, that I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel and Judah, says the Lord. And I'm going to cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they will possess it." In describing Israel and Judah returning back to the land of Israel, it speaks about that day, Jeremiah 30, verse 7. "Alas, for that day is great. There is none like it. It is the time of Jacob's trouble, but he will be saved out of it." So it's during the tribulation, from the dividing of the land and judgment upon the nations, it is from these events that the God of Israel will gather his people from the nations where they've been scattered and bring them back to the land of Israel during the tribulation part of the day of the Lord. We can see from Isaiah chapter 35 that Zion is redeemed during Jacob's trouble. In Isaiah chapter 35, verses 4 through 6 and verse 10, it is written, "Say to them that are fearful heart, say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong. Fear not, behold, your God will come with vengeance," that's judging the nations for dividing the land of Israel, "even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped." That's when the nation of Israel will recognize the Messiah and realize they need to be following Torah. "Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert." This is the setting of the healing on the Sabbath day. You have a blind man and you have a lame man who is being healed, and they were waiting for the moving of the waters. Isaiah 35, verse 10, "And the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion, with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away." The ingathering of the exiles is referred to as the day of Messiah in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, as it is written. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Yeshua HaMashiach, and by our gathering together unto him. The gathering together unto him is him in gathering the exiles. That you be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Messiah is at hand. He gathers the exiles during the day of Messiah, the day of the Lord, or Jacob's trouble. In John, in chapter 6, we are told that the dead will be raised up at the last day. The last day is the seventh day, or the day of the Lord. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone that sees the Son and believes on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. John chapter 6, verses 44 and 54, it is written, no man can come to me except the Father, which has sent me, draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Whosoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. So the resurrection takes place at the last day, which is the Messianic era. Not only will there be a literal, physical, bodily resurrection where we will receive our immortal bodies, but the ingathering of the exiles of Israel is also referred to as a resurrection of the dead, going back to Ezekiel in chapter 37. And this is prophetically foreshadowed in John chapter 11 with the resurrection of Lazarus. John 11, verse 14, then Yeshua said unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. John 11, verse 21 and verses 23 and 24, it is written. Then said Martha unto Yeshua, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. Yeshua said unto her, your brother shall rise again. Here Lazarus is a picture of the exiles of Israel, and he's communicating that the nation of Israel will rise again. They'll be regathered from the nations where they've been scattered. Martha said to him, now I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. The last day is a reference to the Messianic era, and from the coming of Yeshua, which was after the fourth day, the Messianic era is referred to as the third day from Yeshua's first coming, which happened on the fourth day. Hosea chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, come and let us return unto the Lord. He has torn, that is, sent the nation of Israel into exile. He will heal, that is the redemption. He has smitten, and he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. At the end of 2,000 years, we'll be revived. The reviving comes forth by an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and the reviving is the opening up of the blind eyes of his people, where they will see and recognize not only that Yeshua is the Messiah, but that they need to be following his Torah. And in the third day, he will raise us up, and we will live in his sight. And so it's in the third day, the day of the Lord, that he gathers the exiles of Israel, and we're living in his sight. He is here on the earth, and the ingathered exiles are ruling and reigning with him. Back to John chapter 9, when Yeshua heals the blind man on the Sabbath, which is a prophetic picture of the nation of Israel being gathered from all the nations where they've been scattered during the day of the Lord. We are giving a prophetic foreshadowing of the reaction of Orthodox Judaism when this happens. They'll be wrestling with the fact that the ingathering of the exiles has taken place, but who's the Messiah who's gathering the exiles? Who's the one that's causing the blind to see? John chapter 9, verses 14 through 16, it is written, and it was the Sabbath day when Yeshua made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, he put clay upon my eyes, and I washed, and I do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keeps not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. Yeshua actually is keeping the Sabbath day when he gathers the exiles and he rules and reigns and brings the Messianic era to the earth. In order to understand the connection to the end of days, we need to realize that the ancient Pharisees, who we read about in the Bible, became Rabbinic Judaism. In the Wikipedia Encyclopedia, it says, the Pharisees, from the Hebrew word parashim, from parash, meaning to separate, were, depending on the time, a political party, a social movement, and a school of thought among the Jews that flourished during the Second Temple era. After the destruction of the Second Temple, Pharisaic Judaism came to be known as Rabbinic Judaism, and then simply as Judaism. The Pharisees were an ancient sect of Judaism. They existed during the time of Rabbis Hillel the Elder and Shammai, and during the time of Yeshua. They are the direct predecessor to what eventually became known as Rabbinic Judaism. Continuing in the Wikipedia Encyclopedia, explaining the ancient Pharisees' connection to Rabbinic Judaism of today. In contrast to other Jewish groups of the time, such as the Sadducees, Pharisees held that the books of the Tanakh, that's the Hebrew Bible, also called the written Torah, has always been transmitted in parallel with an oral tradition. They pointed as proof to the text of the Torah itself, where they said, many words were left undefined and many procedures mentioned without explanation or instructions. The reader is assumed to be familiar with the details from other sources. This parallel set of material was originally transmitted orally and came to be known as the Oral Law. By the year 200 of the Common Era, much of this material was edited together with the Mishnah, the core document of Rabbinic Judaism. In John chapter 9, we are told how the Pharisees don't want to be Yeshua's disciples. John chapter 9, verses 26 through 29, it is written, then said they to him again, what did he to you? How did he open up your eyes? And he answered them, I have told you already, and you did not hear. Wherefore will you hear it again? Will you also be his disciple? Then they reviled him and said, you are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. And what they mean by that is they're saying, we follow Rabbinic Judaism and the Oral Law. We know that God spoke unto Moses, that is the written and the Oral Law, but as for this fellow, that is Yeshua, we do not know from where he is. John chapter 9, verses 35 through 38. Yeshua heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, do you believe on the Son of God? Do you believe that I'm the Messiah? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Yeshua said unto him, he's having a conversation with the blind man, you have both seen him, and it is he that talks with you. Are you the Messiah? Yeshua says plainly, yes, I am. You see him, and he's talking to you. And he said, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, and he worshipped him. In John chapter 9, verses 39 and 40, it is written, and Yeshua said, for judgment I am come into this world, that they which see might not see. I am come into the world that they which see not might see. They which see not might see. Those who don't recognize the Messiah, those who are not following Torah, I've come so that they, that is the exiles of Israel, might see, believe that I'm the Messiah and follow Torah. And they which see, those who see that they need to follow Torah, might be blind, don't recognize that Yeshua is the Messiah. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said, now is he talking about us? So they asked him, are we blind? And so Yeshua is going to answer the question whether the Pharisees are blind. And his answer to the question is John chapter 10. John chapter 9, verse 41, Yeshua said to them, "If you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, we see. You say, we believe in the God of Israel. We're following his Torah. And so we're not blinded. We're doing what the God of Israel has commanded us to do. And because you're saying, we see, your sin remains because you really don't see. You don't see that I'm the Messiah." So Yeshua goes on to explain, John chapter 10, verse 1. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that enters not by the door of the sheepfold," that is, through Yeshua, "but climbs up some other way," that's Pharisaic Rabbinic Judaism, "that same is a thief and a robber." Chapter 10, verses 5. "Door, the shepherd, the sheep, and the stranger will they not follow." The stranger that they won't follow is Pharisaic Rabbinic Judaism, "but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spoke Yeshua unto them," that is the Pharisees, "but they understood not what things they were which he spoke unto them." Yeshua continues, John chapter 10, verse 7, 9, and 16. And Yeshua is explaining to the Pharisees, in the context of answering the question whether they are blind, because he healed a blind man on the Sabbath, he says in relation to that event, healing the blind man on the Sabbath, "Now listen, I'm the one that gathers the exiles of Israel." So he's relating the healing of the blind man on the Sabbath to his role to gather the exiles of Israel, as he explains here. John chapter 10, verse 7, "Yeshua said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep." John chapter 10, verse 9, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." John chapter 10, verse 16, "Other sheep I have." Now he's speaking to the Pharisees, who are the Jews, and he's saying, "I have other sheep." Who's the other sheep that he has? That is the 10 tribes. That's the northern kingdom. That's Ephraim, which are not of this fold, meaning that they are not a part of the southern kingdom. They do not belong to the southern kingdom, and they're not following Pharisaic Rabbinic Judaism. "Them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice." They will believe that I'm the Messiah. "And there will be one fold," that is the reunification of northern kingdom, southern kingdom, the reunification of Ephraim and Judah. That is the fulfillment of the prophecy of Ezekiel 37. "And there will be one shepherd," that is Yeshua, "who will rule and reign over a restored and ingathered nation of Israel during the Messianic era. Yeshua goes on to explain, John chapter 10, verse 14, "I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine." When Yeshua is telling the Pharisees that he's the good shepherd, he's saying he's the Messiah that gathers the exiles of Israel. He's making an allusion to Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 11 and verse 13, which says, "For thus says the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. And I will gather them from the people, and I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country." And so, Yeshua goes on to explain in saying that he's the good shepherd, John chapter 10, verses 16 and 17, "Other sheep I have, who is Ephraim, scattered in the nations, which are not of this fold," they do not belong to the southern kingdom, or Judah, or Pharisaic Rabbinic Judaism, "them also I must bring, they will hear my voice," that is, Ephraim will hear my voice, "there will be one fold," that's Ephraim and Judah, "and they will have one shepherd," that's Yeshua, who's just said he's the good shepherd. Now Yeshua then explains to the Pharisees, in order for there to be an ingathering of the exiles and a reunification of Ephraim and Judah, John chapter 10, verse 17, he needs to die on the tree to bring this about, because his death on the tree forgives them for their sins, which makes it possible for them to ultimately be regathered by an outpouring of the Ruach HaKodesh by the grace and mercy of the God of Israel. John chapter 10, verse 17, therefore does my Father love me. Therefore, why is it therefore? Because there will be one fold and one shepherd, the reunification of both houses of Israel. Therefore does my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. The blind man is a reference to the lost sheep of Israel. John chapter 10, verse 19, there was the division, therefore, among the Jews for these sayings. A division for what saying? That he is the Messiah who gathers the exiles of Israel, and that there is another fold besides Judah that he's got to gather, and he's got to rule and reign over them. John chapter 10, verse 20 and 21. Many of them said, he has a devil and is mad. Why hear him? And so the reaction we hear today, especially in Messianic Jewish circles, when it is said that Yeshua has another sheepfold that is not of Judah, that he's gathering that believes in him, that's a part of his family, that is the house of Jacob. This teaching, which Yeshua right here is explaining in John 10 to the said devil, is the same reaction that is given today regarding this teaching, that this is a demonic teaching, that it's replacement theology, and that you want to stay away from it and have nothing to do with it. Here's the prophecy that that would be the case. However, others said, these are not the words of him that has a devil. How can a devil open up the blinds? This is not a satanic teaching. This is not a cultic teaching. Because who's the one that's opened up our eyes to see that Yeshua is the Messiah and we need to follow Torah? The devil didn't open up our eyes to see that we should follow Torah, because sin is the transgression of the Torah. The devil's not going to open up your eyes so that you don't sin. He's going to cause you and encourage you to sin. And so those who have open ears and open hearts and open eyes, they recognize and understand this teaching that it is a rule of the Messiah to gather the exiles of Israel, and they are identifying with Yeshua's work and his task to accomplish it. The northern kingdom was taken captive historically by the Assyrians. We could see this in 2 Kings chapter 15, verse 29, where it says, in the days of Pekah, king of Israel, came Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, and he took various places, and it mentions Gilead and Galilee, all the land of Naphtali, and he carried them captive to Assyria. The southern kingdom was taken captive by the Babylonians. 2 Kings chapter 24, verse 10 and verse 15. At that time, the servants of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up against Jerusalem, and the city was besieged. And he carried away Jehoiachin to Babylon, and the king's mother, and the king's wives, and his officers, and the mighty of the land. Those carried he into captivity from Jerusalem to Babylon. Hosea's marriage to Gomer in the book of Hosea is a prophecy of a judgment and ultimately the restoration, redemption that would come to the northern kingdom. Hosea chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. The beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And the Lord said to Hosea, go take unto you a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms, for the land has committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, which conceived and bare him a son. The first child mentioned, Hosea 1, from this marriage, the child is named Jezreel. Hosea chapter 1, verse 4. The Lord said to him, call his name Jezreel. Jezreel means God will sow or God will scatter, which is the judgment upon the northern kingdom that they would be sown or scattered into the nations of the world. The second child that is born is a daughter, Hosea chapter 1, verse 6. And the name of this daughter is Lo Ruhamah, or No Mercy. And she conceived again and bare a daughter, and God said unto him, call her name Lo Ruhamah, for I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. The third child is a son, mentioned in Hosea chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, and the name of this son is Lo Ami, not my people. And when she had weaned Lo Ruhamah, she conceived and bare a son. Then said God, call his name Lo Ami. Lo in Hebrew is not, Am is people, Ami is my people. Call his name not my people, for you are not my people, and I will not be your God. So the judgment upon the northern kingdom is that they would be scattered in the nations, and they would not be shown mercy, and they would not be his people. However, in the redemption, they are once again going to be shown mercy and be called his people. Hosea chapter 1, verse 10. Yet, even though no mercy and not my people, yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured or numbered. In other words, it's through this judgment of the northern kingdom into the nations of the world that the God of Israel is going to fulfill his covenant promise to Abraham, where he promised Abraham that his descendants would be as the stars of the sky and as the sand of the sea. Hosea chapter 1, verse 11. Hosea chapter 1, verse 10 goes on to say, it will come to pass that in the place where it was said, you are not my people, where is it said that you are not my people? Right here, in the judgment, in Hosea 1. That it will be said unto you, you are the sons of the living God. Who is the son of the living God? It's a believer in Yeshua as the Messiah. It's a prophecy from the judgment that was placed upon the northern kingdom that in their return, they will become believers in Yeshua as the Messiah. We can see how a believer in Yeshua as Messiah is called a son of the living God in John chapter 1, verse 12, as it is written. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to be called the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name. So the prophecy to the northern kingdom is, even though you're not my people, you are going to be a son of the living God. A son of the living God, John chapter 1, verse 12, is a believer in Yeshua as the Messiah. With that in mind, we are now going to look at John chapter 21, where we are told that the disciples go fishing. John chapter 21, verses 2 through 5, it is written, they were together, Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, we also go with you. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Yeshua stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Yeshua. Then Yeshua said unto them, children, have you any meat? And they answered him, no. And Yeshua is going to tell them to put their net out on the right side of the boat, and we're going to be told that they catch 153 fish. And he said unto them, John chapter 21, verse 6 and verses 10 and 11, and he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship. The right side represents strength and power. It represents victory. And you will find, they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Yeshua said unto them, bring of the fish which you now have caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. So what is Yeshua teaching his disciples, and why is it mentioned that there are 153 fish? That is a rather unique number. It's because Yeshua was giving them a Torah teaching on the sowed level. He was prophetically communicating to them what their calling was to be and what he was going to send them to do. That is, he was going to send them out in the nations of the world so that they would proclaim Yeshua is the Messiah and the ingathering of the exiles. In the book, Numbers and Scripture, by E.W. Bollinger, under the biblical number 153 on page 275 of the book, he shows that the Hebrew gematria of the phrase B'nai HaElohim, which is the sons of God, is 153. Every Hebrew letter has a numerical value. So we take the phrase B'nai Elohim, or the sons of God, and add up the numerical value of that phrase, it comes to 153. And it was said of the northern kingdom in their restoration, they would become a son of the living God, or a son of God, a believer in Yeshua, which has the numerical value. Once again, the phrase is B'nai HaElohim. The numerical value is 153, and this is what Yeshua was teaching his disciples and why they caught 153 fish, because he was saying, I'm sending you out to go fishing for the exiles of Israel, and this is who you're going to catch. You're going to catch the sons of Elohim. The exiles of Israel are likened unto scattered sheep, Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 17. Israel is a scattered sheep. The lions have driven him away. First, the king of Assyria has devoured him, and last, this Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, has broken his bones. So what does Yeshua tell Peter after we are told about the catching of 153 fish? He says, if you love me, feed my sheep. If you love me, go out and proclaim that I'm the Messiah, the message of the ingathering of the exiles, and the returning to Torah to my people scattered in the nations of the world. John chapter 21, verses 14 through 17, it is written, this is now the third time that Yeshua showed himself to his disciples after he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Yeshua said to Simon Peter, feed my lambs. He said to him again the second time, feed my sheep. And he said unto him the third time, feed my sheep. Next, we're going to look at Yeshua healing a woman with an issue of blood. From Mark chapter 5, beginning in verse 25, it is written, and a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years. This woman having an issue of blood is prophetic of the nation of Israel, who we are told has the same condition in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 17. Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their own way and by their doings. Their way was before me as the uncleanness of a removed woman. In Mark chapter 5, verses 25 and 26, we are told that this woman who has an issue of blood, she tried to be healed, and she went to see many physicians, but she didn't get better. And suffered many things of many physicians, and spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. The exiles of Israel are described as trying to find physicians to help them in their exile, but they couldn't find anyone to help them to solve their condition. Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 22. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 4. These are the words that the Lord spoke concerning Israel and concerning Judah. Jeremiah chapter 30, verses 12 and 13. For thus says the Lord, your bruise is incurable, and your wound is grievous. What's the wound and the bruise? The exile and the nations. And there is none to plead your cause, that you may be bound up. There are no healing medicines. The only healing medicine is returning to the Messiah of Israel, Yeshua, and following his Torah. In Mark chapter 5, verse 27, it says, when she, the woman with the issue of blood, had heard of Yeshua, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. At the corner of an Israel, in the corner of an Israeli garment is fringes known as tzitzit. They are spoken of in Numbers chapter 15, beginning in verse 37, where it's written, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generations, and that they put upon the fringe of the borders a ribbon of blue. Numbers chapter 15, verses 39 and 40. And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them, and that you seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which you used to go a whoring, that you may remember and do all my commandments and be holy unto your God. Next, from Mark chapter 5, with the woman of the issue of blood, we see that she gets healed of her infirmity. Mark chapter 5, verse 28 and 29. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, that is the tzitzit, which represents following Torah, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain was dried up, plague, with a prophetic reference to the punishment of exile in the nations, which means the redemption of the nation of Israel. The God of Israel is glorified through his people Israel. Isaiah chapter 49 and verse 3, it is written, and he said unto me, you are my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. The God of Israel is glorified through the ingathering of the exiles. Isaiah 35, verse 2 and verse 10, it is written, they shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. What is the glory of the Lord? And the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion. And so, with the ingathering of the exiles is associated with seeing the glory of the Lord. And they will come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. We can also see this from Ezekiel chapter 39, verse 21, verse 23, verse 25, and verse 27, as it is written. And I will set my glory among the heathen. And the heathen will know that the house of Israel went into captivity for their iniquity, because they trespassed against me. Therefore hid I my face from them and gave them into the hand of their enemies. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, now will I bring again the captivity of Jacob and have mercy upon the whole house of Israel and will be jealous for my holy name. When I have brought them again from the people and gathered them out of their enemies' lands, and am sanctified in them in the sight of many nations. So the redemption of his people is associated with his glory being upon his people and his name being sanctified, and this is done through an act of mercy of the God of Israel. Yeshua returns when the exiles of Israel are gathered. Psalm 102, verse 13 and verse 16. You will arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her, yea, the set time has come. When the Lord will build up Zion, the building up of Zion is the ingathering of the exiles, he shall appear in his glory. This is what Yeshua prayed in John in chapter 17. In verse 21 and verse 23, Yeshua prays for the ingathering of the exiles, and that just as he is one with the Father, that his people would be one with him. That they all may be one, as you, Father, art in me and I in thee, and that you also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. You see, because Yeshua is going to gather the exiles in the sight of many nations, signs, wonders, and miracles, it will cause the world to recognize that he is the Messiah. I in them and you in me, that they may be perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and love them as you have loved me. And what's he associating with this prayer, that his people would be one with him for the ingathering of the exiles? John 17, verse 22. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them. His glory will be upon his people, and she will once again be adorned and have the beauty of a bride, that they may be one even as we are one. So in this teaching, it was presented to share with you that it's the role of Yeshua to gather the exiles of Israel. And in this session, we showed you that the healing of the lame man in John 5, the blind man in John chapter 9, on the Sabbath day, was a prophetic allusion to Yeshua gathering the exiles in the end of days during a period of time known as the Day of the Lord or the tribulation period. And believers in Yeshua as the Messiah are referred to as sons of the living God. And the phrase Bani Ha Elohim has a gematria of 153. And this is what Yeshua was teaching his disciples in John 21 when he told them to put the net out, and they caught 153 fish. And then Yeshua said to Peter, if you love me, feed my sheep, which means share that I'm the Messiah and the ingathering of the exiles and the return to Torah to the exiles scattered in the nation. The woman with the issue of blood is a prophetic picture of the nation of Israel being in exile, and the way that she was healed was to touch the corner of Yeshua's garment where he was wearing tzitzit, which is a prophetic picture of the exiles of Israel grabbing hold onto Yeshua and his commandments, and that is how the exiles of Israel are healed. And then we look at Yeshua's prayer in John chapter 17 where he prayed that his people would be one with him, and when this happens, the glory of the God of Israel will be upon his people, and Yeshua will be glorified as well. That will be celebrated with Yeshua ruling and reigning with his people in a period of time known as the Messianic era, where Yeshua, in gathering the exiles of Israel, he is gathering his people and adorning them as a bride, and he is going to be marrying and dwelling with redeemed Israel during the Messianic era, and she will, during this time, enjoy peace, comfort, and safety, dwelling in the midst of Yeshua as he teaches the Torah from Jerusalem during the Messianic era. I pray that this message has been a blessing to you. Remember always these words from 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6. He who says he abides in him, he who says that he's a believer in Yeshua as the Messiah, ought himself to walk, that is to live our lives, even as he walked. And how did he walk? He followed the Torah of his father. Even as Yeshua commanded us, if you love him, keep his commandments. Shalom in Yeshua the Messiah. Amen.